Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to the Diva Abdul Blog Talk Radio Show. We're delighted to have tonight with us Lauren Coslow.
Hello.
And James Reed.
Hi.
And we're glad that they joined us tonight. And we've also got Carrie.
Hi, everybody.
And Rose.
I think Rose dropped off. I think Rose dropped.
She'll call back. Anyway, you can tell we're very professional around here. But anyway, we're just delighted to have you guys here tonight. And as probably everybody who's listening knows, Lauren plays Kate Roberts and James Reed plays Clyde Weston on Days of Our Lives. And we're excited to have both of them here together. The two of you, or at least your characters, have been quite busy the last few days on screen. White robes and whatnot.
That's true. I did my homework and I managed to see the show yesterday. I haven't seen today's, but I did see yesterday's. What about you, James?
I watch right along with the audience because we shoot so far ahead of time that I have almost no idea what's going to happen. I've completely, it's left the memory bank. So I'm almost as surprised as anybody else as to what happens on screen.
So true. Plus, we're so far ahead in our schedule now that you do kind of lose track of what went on, six months ago now.
You're like, oh, look at that. Oh, we forgot we did that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Well, I thought it was certainly a well-timed birthday gift for your husband, Nikki, Lauren. It's like, hey, let's sit down and watch Days of Our Lives. Happy birthday.
Oh, Anna, that's so fun. I didn't think about that.
Happy belated birthday, Nikki.
Well, actually, we're going to celebrate on Saturday, so maybe that's all for the best.
No, that was the first thing I thought of, and I was like, oh, wait, this is Nikki's birthday. Oh, this is going over well.
December 1st. Uh-huh. It was his birthday, yeah. And to be honest, we don't sit down and watch the show together. I mean, he sees it when he's there working. So.
Okay. So he doesn't really watch it, does he? Really?
No, and usually those kind of scenes, the love-making scenes, so to speak, are blacked out on the monitors when it's going. Normally all the scenes are shown on monitors throughout the studio, but during those more intimate scenes there, they blacked them out. So
as far as he knows, you're just a businesswoman wandering around town,
right? That's true.
Just another day at the office.
Another day.
Exactly.
Well, what do you think?
James,
he kind of swept her off her feet. What was she supposed to do? I mean, that was a great dance,
exactly.
That dancing line.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was pretty darn good.
I love it. Yes. And James, is your wife watching the show with you?
Oh, every minute. Yeah, she's become a fan.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. We need them.
Yes. Well, so had you ever watched Days of Our Lives before you were on the show?
No, not recently.
Okay.
I think it comes across, everybody's radar at one time or another.
Sure.
I mean, in 50 years,
Absolutely.
Chances are that it's kind of like,
right.
It's like Chevrolet and apple pie, it's just really ingrained into the American DNA. So I have seen, I certainly have seen Deidre's work before and Drake's and, you know, some of the guys that have been on there for a while. So, but having never really followed storylines, and that's been a real eye opener coming to daytime for the first time. It's like you just can't make up anything that's too outlandish. It's just wild.
Oh, yeah, there have been some pretty crazy storylines in the past, but we're really enjoying Kawhi.
Oh, good.
It's been fun.
He's some days he's hard to enjoy.
Yes, he is.
I
but it's a fun character to play because there are no boundaries, you know. And
clearly.
He has the ability to believe everything he says in the moment that he says it is the absolute truth. So there's a lot of creative license in that.
If anybody can protect Clyde besides Clyde himself, it'll be Kate. So it's a great pair.
I think so too.
Now I wanted to give a shout out to Buffalo because you're from Buffalo, correct?
I was born there, yeah. Didn't live there very long, but I have family going back there for several generations, so I know it pretty well.
And then also, I wanted to find out, my biggest question, I read that you met your wife, Wendy, while on the set as husband and wife of North and South.
Yeah, we were, when the show started, our characters... met, fell in love, and in the second installment of the miniseries, we got married on camera about 3 years before we got married in real life. But the first time we met was actually at a dance rehearsal on the first day of rehearsal for North and South. So that's pretty special.
Very cool. Very cool.
I just thought that was so interesting.
Yeah, on-set romances don't have a particularly good track record in general. So, I'm glad we broke the trend. There were a number of couplings, marriages that came out of that show, including Jeannie Francis and Jonathan Frakes and Leslie Ann Down and her husband Don. As far as I know, everyone's still together. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, it must have been the mint juleps, I guess.
well, and Lauren, how did you meet Nikki again?
On the YNR set. It must be something about production romance.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's so funny.
Same hey, but they both thing. Worked out, right?
Yeah, they both worked out, yeah, for sure.
Oh. Well, and it's kind of cool to see your quote-unquote real voice, or hear your real voice. You know, we're used to Clyde now, so...
Yeah, I forget sometimes, you know.
You slip
go to the grocery
out
store or something and... I'll be shocked to hear myself sound like Clyde. It comes and it goes.
You've done several different accents, though, throughout all the years, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I think the most challenging one was I played Cary Grant once, and he had such a unique way of speaking. It's not a British accent. It's not an American. It's a continental accent. It's the accent of a guy from England who didn't want to sound like he was from England. So that was and the fact that it was so widely known and imitated, you know, for years, it was so singularly identifiable I hired a dialect coach and worked with him for quite a number of weeks beforehand. Can I still do it?
Yeah.
It's probably going to sound like more like Clyde than Cary. So,
See, I think Clyde's so mysterious that I wonder if one day he won't show up with a Cary Grant accent. I really wonder if that is really his accent.
You know?
That would be fun.
It would be fun. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I think he's
very
mysterious, so I'm
yeah,
not so sure
is.
That is really his accent.
Yeah.
I know. Something that struck me with Clyde right away is he's such a straight shooter. Well, we don't know. I mean, he might not be really, but he's so, I guess the word direct or something. It's almost like he sees into the window. I mean, it sounds corny, I know, but it's almost like he sees right into Kate. I mean, I don't know. It seemed like that from the very beginning. Like, it kind of spooked her in a way. I don't know.
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, he's definitely blunt with her,
yeah.
I think. And I think she's kind of charmed by that. She likes that, that he, there's no, you know, bullshit.
Well, I think Kate is the only person that he can come close to really being himself with. And he's so desperately needs it because he lies so much to everybody else that it's almost a point of desperation. You know, for some reason he feels very simpatico feels like he can reveal more to her than certainly anybody else that we've seen in the story so far.
Since you're both here at the same time, I want to go back to the first meeting.
Okay.
I remember I complained so bad. Sorry. I complained about Kate because it is so unlike Kate to go into something like that and be blinded. It seemed like she didn't know all the bad stuff about Clyde when she brought him to town. Yet Clyde was doing his homework. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I think I know what you're saying. I think the fact that they took so long with the search, you know, she had been searching for that information for so long, you know, and we would see those dealings with the private detective, you know, week by week, that when finally, you know, and nothing was happening. So I think when finally he came up with something that seemed legitimate and concrete, that I think it did make sense that she was going to check it out.
Yeah.
Because there had been so many dead ends and so much false information. And then when she found out about the false, then she got the information about the false identities, and then suddenly there's this secret family. So I could see her, because she is impulsive. For sure.
Yes.
So I could see her jumping on that and going down to check it out herself, especially because this private detective did seem a bit incompetent. I mean, it took him so long.
She was
ready to fire him.
I was just screaming, no, Kate, don't do it.
Well, you know, and on top of it, I think she feels totally confident about doing it. There's no big deal. It's like she just had to take matters into her own hands definitely this guy was not doing what she needed him to do. You know, and I don't think she thought there was any problem with that, you know, doing that. She didn't think there was any danger to it. And then even when she gets there, I don't think there was any sense of danger. I think it was a strange environment, obviously.
Yeah.
For her.
Yeah.
But
definitely.
I think she was intrigued, and perhaps she ignored any instincts about, after she finally meets him, the possible danger of it.
Well, he is pretty handsome. I mean,
he was very charming. Yeah. Yes. He was very charming. But most of all, I think he exuded power, that there was something else going on there.
Yes.
And we know she's intoxicated by power. I mean, there was just something there.
And it's a different kind of power.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting because it's a twist on we're used to be the Mira power or whatever, the all-knowing theme. But with him, you really don't know where his power is coming from exactly. You just know
you really don't.
So confident.
I think it was intriguing to her. I mean, I don't think she didn't really plan to bring him to town. I mean, he just showed up. She just wanted to get information about him.
Yeah,
you're exactly. So it is, you know, she probably should not have opened the door to that. You know, once she opened it a crack, he just
it was more the matter of it ended up being an interrogation of Kate instead of an interrogation of Clyde. And I was like, no, Kate, why are you telling him everything?
Yeah, she definitely underestimated that, which, I mean, she has done before in the past, you know. Of course, I may feel like she shouldn't have done that, but I have to justify what I'm, you know, what's written for her in the moment. So I chose to believe that she really was just intrigued by him. I mean, part of it was getting all the information about Jordan, but then on top of it, there seems like so much mystery here and so much that was not right. I mean, she senses there's a whole lot more there. And she couldn't help being curious. I mean, she is. She is. She is ever curious about it. You know, and he was. He's handsome. He's powerful. You know, it's, there was just, she couldn't help herself, so.
I'm just loving every aspect, though.
Yeah, it's very, it's interesting, though, for the, I enjoy those types of relationships on screen, though, those types of characters that, are multi-layered and have all these different kind of angles to them and everything. So it's fun to watch the, it's fun to watch the play between the two of them, you know? I don't know, I just...
They both seem to have a weakness against each other.
Right, right.
That's what I'm seeing. That Kate's got a weakness for Clyde, and Clyde's got a weakness for Kate. And
I think they see a lot of themselves in each other.
It's
already like they've already figured out half the game with the other person. Because they're playing it themselves all the time. They almost know what's going to come out of the next the mouth in the next moment before they even say it, because they could very well have said it themselves. It seems like they have we have a lot of moments there where one or the other of us it seems like one step ahead, and we're all it's like a chess game where you're always trying to play catch up, and that's kind of I think
keeps the ball rolling. At the same time, they both kind of need each other because they need an ally. And, you know, with Kate all in the Demira business and Clyde obviously in the Demira business on the wrong side, they're going to need each other.
Well, and I think that aspect will continue to grow as you follow the story. You know, it becomes more and more complicated, really. You know, and I think from Kate's point of view, she's always looking at consolidating power. And it's a dicey game that she's playing with the Demiras right now. And, you know, I think she wants to expand beyond that. She knows that it's definitely a problem area. Right now she's wearing that crown, but it's shaky. So, I mean, I think she sees that in him, that there could be a, he bluntly keeps on talking about it. I mean, that never, I mean, he, how many times did he say that? We could rock this town, we could take this town, we'd make a fantastic team.
He's got a good sense for this,
So, but he said he must totally sense that in her, that she would like that. She wants to do that. You know, they both kind of want
that
it all.
That appeals to her,
appealing.
I mean, and they could definitely have it. I mean, you know, I mean, really, it's fun. It's like a power couple or something. And it's just watching it emerge, you know, over time is fun.
Yeah, the fact that it's taking its time and you're really seeing different aspects of it and it's building, and I love that. I love the whole way they're working Clyde and Kate.
I think it's very interesting, and it is developing slowly, and you're never really sure where it's going. And believe me, there are a few times that things get thrown in, and you're like, what? Why did he say that, or why did she do that? I mean, it's definitely not black and white at all.
Yeah,
there's a lot of twists and turns coming up.
But if it were black and white, it'd be boring, you know, because we would know where it was going, and we'd know how, you know, that's what makes it.
And so
watch.
Many of the times, I think characters in daytime are generally more of predictable archetypes. Mm-hmm. And you kind of know the character before you've spent much time with them, because they, you know, you know the type of the character. And Clyde isn't really any, he's his own unique type. So there's a lot of blanks to fill in about him. So consequently, a lot of blanks in any relationship that he's in. And you don't quite know if all the cards are on the table or not.
Yeah.
And Kate doesn't fit a mold either. Neither one of them fits a mold.
Right.
Right.
They don't. And I think it's, I kind of think it's interesting how she responds to people who are saying, well, oh, what do you see in him? And he's beneath you and all of that. And they're, you know, they're so close-minded, really. I really love this kind of case. It's, what are you talking about?
Wasn't Kate a hooker way back when?
We don't use that word around.
She was a professional woman. Yes, she was. She was an escort.
Who also had relations with EJ.
She had a lot of relations with a lot of people. But at one time, yes, she did that with Stefano, yeah.
Quite
a few years ago, yeah. And it was, which is so funny, which is so interesting to me that there's, you know, a lot of fans who really want to see her with Stefano, who definitely, you know, was her pimp to a degree. I mean,
but exactly,
you know.
Isn't that fun? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't think I've seen it yet. I might have missed it, but Clyde doesn't know that Kate has 6 children, does he?
I don't think we've never really seen.
I don't think we've ever mentioned Kate's children.
I don't think
They haven't had Thanksgiving dinner yet at the Rock.
No, they haven't had Thanksgiving dinner. Well, I don't know if Kate could get all 6 of her children to show up, which is, I don't know. We've only seen Lucas. I guess you've only met Lucas, of course.
Yeah.
He's the only one.
I don't think she's broken off the photo album yet.
No,
we haven't met the alien twins yet, obviously.
Right. She probably doesn't have a lot of old photos. She didn't get to spend much time with her children, unfortunately. But I know his children. But, you know, I think an interesting thing is, because obviously I don't know all about, you know, Clyde and his family.
Right.
But I do know. I know that I think even in that initial meeting, I did sense that there was great pain in terms of his relationship with his children. And that's something that she experienced. So I think on some level, that really did touch her. And she certainly knows that there's a degree of shadiness to this man. But I think that part was real. And that touched her. And I think that probably, the question you had asked earlier, you know, why did she open up so much to him? And I think at some point she made this decision that pain is real. And I understand that. I would have done anything to make up, you know, with Billy and Austin, how horrible that had been for me to lose my 2 children, just like he lost his daughter and his son. I mean, so that is a type of connection that she felt with him immediately. Now,
and I do see the pain in Clyde whenever he's trying so hard to make up with Ben.
Yeah.
And I see that pain every time, and I love the interaction with Ben and with Kate and with Clyde. It's just I'm loving this storyline.
I think it's really good.
Well, you know, I was thinking too. You know how you just a few minutes ago we were talking about how all these characters make snide remarks about Clyde and, you know, what is Kate thinking and all that. And, you know, Nisa, you know, like she just kind of blows it up, like thinks it's funny or whatever they think that. But I think, you know, it's because she's in on it. Because like you guys were saying, they're so in sync in so many ways and know each other's next move and kind of would, like you said, James, you could almost say this, you know, say the same sentences, you know, that one could say the same as the other. And so maybe Kate's thinking, okay, you think that about him. It's okay to underestimate him. I know who he really is. It's like there could be that undertone too.
It's so funny that you say that because I have not giving anything away, but I'm going to have I had a conversation with Kate and Chad talked just last week. They have this argument and that's exactly what she says. She says, no, she said Clyde is fine with everyone underestimating him. It's great because when people do that, then it just gives you freedom to proceed the way you want to proceed. And I think she sees that from the very beginning, and I think that's why it doesn't really bother her. She doesn't really care what they think.
She knows. It's like she's in on it. You know?
It's great. It's perfect. It just allows you to really operate the way you want to.
Right. So, I know you can't give any story away, but I think it would be, because Clyde's definitely leaning this way, it would be interesting to see them in business together, or like, you know, building their empire or whatever. I think that would be fun to watch how that. I'd love to see them like knock people off one by one, not literally, but you know, like just kind of, you know, it's like.
That sounds like fun, doesn't it, James?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. So far, the writers have been very careful to keep the true nature of Clyde's business dealings somewhat secret from Kate.
It's
been apparent to me that she knows exactly. I'm sure she has suspicions, but there's been no confirmation, and he's always very evasive. And he's certainly trying to present himself as an upstanding citizen in Salem, even though he has other operations elsewhere that, you know, couldn't be considered legitimate at all. So it'll be interesting to see whether they choose to reveal those, Clyde reveals them to Kate, or whether he tries to distance himself from his old self, that if he feels like sticking around in Salem and being with his children and with Kate is enough of a reason to truly change his ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big, you know, fertile ground for the mind, you know.
Right. Well, hey, I think we have Sarah on the line. Is Sarah there? Hello?
Hey, Sarah. Sarah?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. It's Lauren.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. It's so weird to talk to you guys on the phone when I watch you guys every single day.
Well, thank you.
And I really enjoy Clyde and Kate a lot. They are the most fun, interesting to watch right now.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
And I have a question for Clyde.
Uh-huh.
What's it like to have an iconic character like EJ Demarathi? Because of him. And do you think people will know that he killed him, or someone will know that you killed EJ? How long the secret will not keep it last?
I'm sorry, my connection is not real good. Did anybody else could help me with the exactly? I only got a few words of what she said. Could you repeat the question, or?
What's it like to have an iconic character, to have an interaction with EJ Tamara, and what's it like to kill him off?
Okay. I think she's saying, what was it like to interact with an iconic character like EJ, and what was that like to kill him off?
To be responsible for his death, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think Clyde really relished the challenge of doing business with EJ and and basically knocking him out of the business and taking over his territory. He was the 800-pound gorilla, and Clyde, I think just being an alpha male himself, he just saw, you know, it's like I've got to take this guy on. He's the big stud in town, and you know, that's just like a red flag to Clyde. It's a challenge.
My other question is, do you think that Chad and Kate might know Clyde after someone killed him?
I'm sorry, did you get that?
No, I didn't.
Is Kate going to be able...
Is Kate going to what? is Kate going to, I didn't hear the rest of it.
No, that she might figure out that Clyde murdered EJ or Chad might know.
Well, I don't, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, that story, you know, way down the line, you know, she doesn't know about it now. I don't see how she could find mm-hmm. out about it because no one does. I mean, no one knows.
No.
Now, whether or not he'll tell her, I don't know. I don't
Ooh.
Even know how she would really feel about it. I don't know
yeah.
that she would
mm-hmm.
be that on.
And what about with Chad's situation? Because he's always onto something on Clyde.
Chad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chad, yeah, that will be interesting to find out. You know, it's, of course, you don't want to give away any storyline, but
yeah.
yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Certainly, it seems like Chad could definitely pick up.
Honestly, from a viewpoint of just a viewer, to me, it didn't seem like Clyde meant for EJ to die.
I agree. Yeah,
it's not Clyde's fault.
It wasn't his fault. I agree.
No, it was an accident too.
It was an accident.
And Clyde would have enjoyed even more the taking over EJ's territory and taking over his business and watching him
mm-hmm.
suffer. As a result, he would have been
rather than letting him die.
Yeah, he would have gotten a lot more enjoyment out of lording it over him. And it wasn't his intent to kill him, but it was just to take his territory away and then knock him off the top of the hill.
And I think if it, and this is just presumption, nobody needs to clarify it, but just to answer, you know, this kind of a question. To me, I would think that if and when Kate ever found out about it, that Kate would protect Clyde because she would know the Demira henchmen are complete goons and can't do their jobs right.
You know, that's an excellent point. I love that. I'm going to keep that. Thank you.
They're terrible shots.
They're always making mistakes.
We told them a lot of times that Demira didn't actually hit the right person.
Well, it seems like Clyde took care of that problem, though, anyway. Did you disposed of that henchman, didn't you?
Not that Kate
does that, but...
Yeah, send him away.
Down in a soybean field somewhere.
Fertilizing. Well, thank you, Sarah, for calling.
Thank you,
That's
Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
I'll be watching it today's days later on before I go to bed.
Oh,
okay.
Great.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Good question.
And Marianne has joined us.
Hi.
Marianne, are you on? Hello?
Uh-oh.
I can hear you.
Hello?
We lost Marianne as soon as we got her.
Hello?
There she is.
Hi. No, I'm here. I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Okay. Hi, Marianne.
Yeah,
it's Lauren.
Can you hear you now?
Hi, Lauren.
Marianne.
How are you? Hi, James. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
I don't know what you I wanted to tell you. I'm really enjoying Kate and Clyde, and I don't know what you've talked about, but I really enjoyed when they collided in bed this week.
Leave it to Mama Hoots to go right to it. I love it.
Hey, that name's really working out, isn't it?
Collide. I know. I like that. Yeah. And it's funny when I'm listening to you talk, I'm there. It doesn't sound like Kate. It doesn't sound like Clyde. But yeah, I just love it. Yeah. How are you and how did you enjoy those scenes? Filming those scenes.
Ladies,
I just wanted to say Kate bagged another one.
Oh my God. Well, I think it went pretty well. I mean,
yeah.
I just watched them. They're not the most comfortable scenes to watch, for sure. I don't know about you,
Great
James, but I mean,
as many times as you did them, you know.
There was.
Are you going to tell us yet what's under the sheets?
Yeah.
People. There's people under the sheets. I think. I think they were fun. I haven't seen the. I just saw the one. I guess that aired on Monday. I haven't seen. I guess it's Friday. It's the prelude to that when I came in and I was angry about something. I forget what it is. It's so long ago. But I have to see that
too.
Oh yeah, but,
I have to remember that. Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
so long
that
ago.
She rushed in and then
like 6 months or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I have to get caught up with that, but. But I have to say, James, I know we were talking because you have to choreograph these things, not as much as we used to years ago.
Yeah.
We had more time. But I remember we were talking about how to get on the bed, and we were, I think there was a little bit of discussion about it, and James is just kind of looking at us like,
I think didn't we need a stunt coordinator for that?
No, I think what it was like, okay, we're just going to shoot it.
Double axle reverse, wasn't it?
No, but I think you just did it, and it was really great. You just did it. There was no discussion needed. I just remember thinking that later. Oh, we didn't need any discussion because you just, like, knew what to do. So it looked good. It looked definitely looked good.
Yeah.
And
James, how are you enjoying your time on Days?
Oh, it's great fun. It really is. I like the love the character. I love the speed with which the story is told, and the opportunity to do something, you know, different every day, and the way every day is different and a challenge. It I really was worried about the pace initially, just from the point of having to memorize so much dialogue. Mm-hmm. There's so much more, it's a quicker pace than in features and television, nighttime television. But I really enjoy the speed with which the story is told, and the fact that it just moves along so quickly. That's a lot of fun.
I was going to ask a question not related to actual Days, but James, you didn't originally want to be an actor. You had another career goal?
I think I had several.
Several?
Yeah, several. I'm from upstate New York, and I did one play, I think, in high school, but it was a lack of familiarity. You know, I never went to the theater. I never went to Broadway, even though I lived a couple hours away from the city. And it wasn't like a practical career option. I mean, it wasn't, you know, nobody I ever knew or ever heard of ever told anybody that they wanted to, when asked what they're going to be when they grew up, was an actor if they were over the age of five. You know, it wasn't common. It was, would be highly unusual. So I think it took me a while to try some other things and realize that although I may be interested in intellectually, I didn't have much passion for it. And I would always come back. I always thought, well, I might act, as an avocation. I might do it just for fun or a hobby or something. But it's always what I was most passionately curious and interested in. So.
And did you get support in your passion of wanting to do it?
Well, there are little steps along the way where, you know, a little light goes off and you maybe don't, you know, realize at the time, think it's anything big, but looking back, it becomes bigger, becomes sort of a bellwether. It becomes a turning point, and little experiences. Perhaps,
I mean,
I guess when I was in the theater, working in the theater, and I was hired as an understudy once, for a pretty big production of a show in Denver, and I was working in smaller theaters there, and not getting paid for it. And this was my opportunity to get my union card. So I was hired as an understudy, and I had to go and replace the lead in the show without the benefit of a rehearsal when he broke his foot on the second night of the show. And I had memorized all the lines myself. I was actually doing another play at the same time, and I wasn't available to rehearse. And I got a call at 10 o'clock in the morning once on a Saturday, and I was asked if I could be at the theater at 1 o'clock. And I said, why? And they said, to play the lead in the show. And I said, you're kidding. And now, you know, Paul broke his foot, and if you can't do it, we have to cancel the show. So I did it, and I did it, and I finished out the run, and it was very successful, and got my my union card as a result, and was asked back to join the company as a full-time member the following season. And that, you know, you just can't plan for things like that to happen. You can't say, well, this is how I'm going to do it. You know, you just have to make yourself available for things like that to happen.
Had that not happened,
I wouldn't be talking to you now, I'm quite certain.
What was the play? Would we be familiar with it?
Pardon me?
What was the play? Do you remember the name of the play?
It was called Passing Game. It was written by a fellow named Steve Tesich, who won an Academy Award for the screenplay of Breaking Away. It was about the fighting movie that Dennis Christopher and Dennis Quaid and came out in the, early 70s or something like that?
Yeah, right.
And he was a screenwriter, he was a playwright, and this was one of his plays, and it was had a basketball theme to it, and there was actually a hoop and some one-on-one playing during the show. And the guy that I replaced had broken his foot while playing basketball on stage. So.
No.
Pretty wild.
Wow.
What? Hey, we have another caller.
Okay.
Mozzie, are you there? Mozzie? Hello?
I can't see her.
Oh,
I see her. I put her on.
Hello?
Little blog talk.
Sometimes it drops.
There. Is that her?
Hello?
Hi, Mozzie.
Hi.
Hey, Mozzie.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Guess what? She's not calling from Israel this time.
That's it. Hi, it's Lauren. That's right. You're here. You're back east, right?
Yeah, I'm in Baltimore now, so it's exciting to be calling from the U.S. and not from Israel.
Oh, that's fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, I just called to say hello. I'm not really watching the show now, but it's now when I'm in the U.S., so I have the opportunity to watch it again. So I have a lot to catch up.
How far ahead is it from when you were in Israel? Was it a few years behind, or?
What?
Or were you at the same? Were you on the same schedule with the show?
No, not really.
Okay.
Yeah, but now I can watch it at the right time.
Well, fantastic. I hope you get caught up, and I hope you enjoy it.
Yes, definitely. She asked me if it's on Mondays here. So do they show it just once a week in Israel?
No, but it was a long time ago.
That's right.
It's not the same. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to hear your voice.
It's so nice to hear your voice. It sounds like you have a really interesting job. I think that's fantastic, Maisie.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Well, thanks for calling, Mom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good night. Okay.
Bye-bye.
See, it just shows the reach of Days of Our Lives. You know, you were talking earlier, James, about how at some point in your life, if you're alive, you've seen Days of Our Lives.
I know.
It's kind of funny because...
Almost 50 years now. Next year will be, what, 50 years?
Yeah.
Incredible.
We'll have a big celebration next year.
And fans all over the world.
Yeah. That would be wonderful.
That would be awesome. So, Mama Hooch, did you have something you wanted to add?
No, I was just going to, was reading about James. You wanted to be a lawyer at first?
That was one of the possibilities, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the other possibilities?
Really?
About 20 years ago, I got a master's in psychology. At one time, I went as a forestry major.
Oh.
So I had lots of different ideas.
Very cool. You always had a backup then, right? If that acting didn't work out.
Now, when you did finally go all the way to acting, did your family support you?
Well, they said they did. I don't know any parent who hearing their child say, "I want to be an actor," like thinks it's the smartest decision in the world.
Well, yeah, I mean, like my daughter just did an acting thing, and I'm like sitting here going, "I don't know," you know.
Well, yeah, as a parent, you want them to follow their passion and to do what they love to do, but you also, you know, you want them to have a happy and successful life, and
mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing. I don't think there's any profession that's more challenging in terms of just the sheer numbers and the odds for the amount of people wanting to work as actors and the number of jobs that there are available. It's really, really intimidating and difficult. You just have to be very, very lucky for things to work out.
Well, you have been very, very lucky. I mean, you've got a whole slew of stuff you've done. Do you have a particular format that you prefer? I mean, like you had the Remington Steele, and you know, you had you had the TV movie series, obviously North and South that became so famous, and then you have this daytime that's shot so fast, and you have movies and like Legally Blonde. I mean, is there one that you prefer over the other?
Not really. Everything has its, advantages and disadvantages, and you just there are things that make every job unique and enjoyable. That's just different enough, you know. And but the great joy is being able to go from one to another. That's what I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And. I've always said, in some sense, you know, acting is acting. It doesn't make any difference whether you do it on stage, in front of a camera, whether it's on videotape or live or what have you. It doesn't make any difference whether you're doing 25 pages a day or half a page a day. It, you know, the work, in some sense, is always the same. But, for instance, about daytime, one of the things that I kind of like is that there's so little time for rehearsal that it's more as much of an improvisation as it is a well rehearsed performance. And when you do a feature, you're doing so many takes, shooting from so many different angles, that it's the longest rehearsal you'll ever have. You just do
mm-hmm.
something over and over and over again, and usually you get one shot, you know, in daytime. You got one chance to make it happen, and maybe you've, you know, you've run your lines, but it's never the same from running your lines in their dressing room or the makeup room or something, and getting out on the set where things are always a little different, and you have a different atmosphere.
It really
calls up kind of improvisational skills, and where you never know exactly what's going to happen, and that's when you're lucky if you get a little bit of that in a feature film, because you do it so many times, and sometimes you're surprised in a very, very happy way, and other times it's like, wow, you know.
So did Clyde improvise that butt grab? Was that improvisation there?
I don't know if my professional ethics will let me answer that.
So one of the only other questions I personally have is, are you as much an animal lover as myself and Lauren Coslow here?
Well, I don't know how much of an animal lover you are, but I've always had pets and the love of dogs and cats, and but nothing exotic. Okay. You know,
no
pheasants, no orangutans in the backyard, or one-humped camels or anything.
So Lauren, how's all your animals doing?
It's so funny to ask, because we're actually getting rain here today. Which we really, really need, and it's been pouring. And the peacocks are so hysterical to rain. Of course, they're used to it. I mean, they come from places where they're, you have those tropical storms. But they all today were like lined up on the rails of our balcony.
They didn't get up in the trees?
No.
Ours get up in the trees.
Tell us, like, what is going on. And
ours,
they just sat
the
there for hours.
Out of the tree.
Soaking wet. I mean, of course they could have. They could just tons of shelter for them. But it was just really, and usually if the dogs go out, they fly off squawking and everything. It didn't matter, because some of them, we have these kind of alcoves with our windows where there's like, a foot worth of space still for them to sit on. And the dogs are right up against the windows, barking at them. And they're right there, soaking wet, staring in. I don't know what it meant. Of course,
hilarious.
I'm trying to get photos,
Well, at least you're not getting freezing rain out there. We have the ice here, the freezing rain.
We just really need it. We're in a drought, and we needed it so desperately. So I'm so happy that the horses aren't thrilled. They're still in pasture, but it was really nice to see it today.
Are any of them, like, attracted to the horses? Because I know that Perry just loves to be out with the horses.
Well, we have seven of them now. They kind of, they make the rounds. They go out there because when the horses are eating, they go and they try. How the peacocks, like, eat everything. So they're out there grazing with the horses.
Yes.
Everything. I think what they love the most actually are the tiles on our roof, which periodically crash me down. Because all seven of them will get up there. You know what heavy birds they are, too, and you can hear them clomp. And
it's
invariably
a
tile.
33 of them going across the roof.
I love them, but that can get a little crazy. But no, they're very much to themselves. They have got to kind of rule the place.
Yeah. Ever since we got Chance, Perry just loves to be out there. He's always
so
out
funny.
There with Chance.
That's so
feeding
funny.
Time or not, he loves Chance. So
really, yeah. No, ours are not. They don't really care about. In fact, this is a terrible story. But we have a mare who is. We know how mares can be. Dominant, and when she first got to the property, this is so terrible, because all our chickens are free range, they run all over the place, and when they would have babies, they would run into the pasture and the mother and the babies, and she would go to stomp on the baby chicks because they're sharing the food. They go to pick up the hay and the grains and everything. So then the chickens all stayed out of that pasture where she was. But now she's calmed down. She doesn't do that anymore. But she was that aggressive. She was so spoiled. She was a dressage horse. So spoiled and so used to being in paddock that if anything came in, a baby chick, Yes.
It's so funny
life
you're
on the
talking
farm
about this mare, because that's what Anna's looking at now is a mare, and it's like I keep going, no.
I know. Yeah, you might not want to do that. You might not want to. They take very special
mare.
Handling. Very special handling. Not all of my
well
that's
with her, but, no mares.
No mares. Aww. If you can help us.
All right. Well, we have some more callers. I think Sabina is our next caller.
Ah.
Hi, Sabina. Hi, Lauren. Hi, James.
Hi, Sabina.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's been a long time since I talked to you.
Great to hear from you.
It is so good to talk with you guys. I'm, of course, as usual, keeping up with days and looking forward to the Christmas parade that hopefully didn't get completely rained out.
Oh, the Hollywood Christmas.
Fun?
Well,
yeah.
No, it didn't. Yeah, it didn't get complete. I don't know when that airs. I guess it's sometime in December.
I think it's the 10th.
Okay. No,
it's the 10th, but it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, it didn't get rained out. It still went on, but it's soggy for sure. And we were on the top of a double-decker bus with umbrellas.
Fun.
The top.
It was bracing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope you still had fun. It wasn't too cold, was it?
No, it wasn't really. It wasn't too cold, no. You know, honestly, that was the first day that it had started to rain, and we do need the rain so much. It was amazing that it rained on that day. It flooded the red carpet. There was no red carpet.
So
they ended up taking photos in the park, James, in the parking garage up against the block wall. It was quite an evening. It's quite an evening.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, so keep all that in mind when you're watching it. It should be fun.
Okay, I will. I'm looking forward to it because I'm really excited about the 50th anniversary of days coming up. I'm looking forward to whatever you guys have planned, whatever they have up their sleeve for that.
I know, it's so exciting.
A lot
of mystery surrounding it, but I'm sure it's going to be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so looking forward to it. I hope they bring Patrick back as Austin, though. That's all I'm saying. He's my buddy, so I want him to come back.
I know, he's a great guy. He's a great guy.
But I did want to say hi to James as well and welcome him to the family of Days. And
thank you very much.
It is definitely an awesome soap opera. I'm loving watching you. I'm really intrigued as to what mysteries you're hiding. And I'm wanting to know, I don't want to know what they are. Obviously, you can't tell us. But I'm hoping they will shed light on what is from your past and, you know, some backstory and why you're so secretive and stuff like that with certain things.
Well, I think they've started to, and they're going to do it in small doses over time. I think having Clyde go to the therapist, having go to Marlena and talk a little about his past. Initially, they set it up so that was just a kind of a move to preempt Jordan from going.
That's what I was thinking,
you know,
too.
It was kind of a provocative move. But I think once Clyde found himself in there, and I think he really did go to, see a therapist back in Poplar Bluff, and there's some burning need deep inside to come clean about things and to make amends, and that I really thought it was interesting and valuable to allow the character to do that, and I think we're going to see some more of that, although in bits and pieces, you know.
Right. Well, that's good to know, because I was wondering if he's really wanting to make amends with Ben. And I know Jordan doesn't believe him at all, and she just wants him to leave.
Right.
So I'm curious how that's all going to play out, and hopefully, you know, if that is the case, that Jordan will eventually see that and become a little bit more comfortable with that. But of course, there's also the other dealing.
Well, I can say Jordan and Clyde will have a meeting of the minds in the not too distant future.
Nice.
I was going to say, I'm sorry, I know this is twisted, but I'm always rooting for Clyde.
There's a mine.
Oh yeah.
No,
no, always
the cruel, but
bad boys.
Well, they've left the story just sketchy enough to not know exactly what happened, and to, I think, to prevent anybody from making any, you know, black and white judgments. It's
of course you're talking about daytime fans here, James. So of course that doesn't always. Sometimes people make judgments no matter what, but yeah, that's the way I looked at it. Is they kept it gray enough that you could look at it different ways, you know?
Right.
And quite honestly, like I said, I actually root for Clyde, so I really don't. But
well, I think good characters work that way. It allows the audience to see in them what they want to see, and allows them to project things on them without you know, painting it in such stark black and white colors that they can only be one thing.
Right.
You know, always like the bad guy, the bad boy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's something about that. But and also, soap fans can be so hypocritical, too, because, I mean, look, I was an original, you mentioned Jeannie Francis earlier. I was an original Luke and Laura fan from when I was a young girl and everything. I mean, he raped Laura. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of, like, history in daytime of things like that. You know, I'm not saying that happened necessarily with, you know, but it's just interesting how, you know, everybody kind of reads into it what they want. You know, I choose for Clyde, so I'm, you know. But, but yeah, I'm sure it makes it a little tricky as an actor, though, when you're you know, deciding how to play something, you know.
Just, well, you're also dealing with expectations of, you know, it's kind of bigotry against Southern rednecks, that if a guy looks and acts in a certain way, he's got to be stupid, right?
Yeah.
And it's nice that they've taken that stereotype and kind of turned it on its head by allowing Clyde to be a lot slicker underneath the surface than would
and
appear.
And Kate gets it.
That's a great point.
I know you can't give anything away, but are we going to see more Kate and Clyde, like, scheming together, maybe?
Well, I it certainly looks that way, doesn't it? I don't think it's giving too much away to say that.
I know he said something about they would make a really great team together, so I don't know. It's something.
I know.
I mean,
he certainly,
he's planting the seed.
He certainly is planting the seed.
I call it a progression.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to say that you're definitely doing a great job, and it definitely is fun to hear your real voice versus the accent, and that there's a difference, and you definitely do a really good job with that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And I did check out your past work, and you've done a lot of work on a lot of things that I've loved in the past, like Fantasy Island and Beaches, and I was like, wow, what? I need to go back and watch these things. It's just been a while since I watched them. I got to be honest, I haven't watched them in a while, so I don't remember much. But I just was curious what it was like working on this. That was my all-time favorite just back in the day.
Well, believe it or not, you know, you have trouble remember watching them. Sometimes I have trouble remember doing them.
Yeah. I get that.
But
I totally get that.
I've been really fortunate to do lots of different things, and I've really enjoyed them all.
Well, I'll be going back and doing some homework and watching some stuff and checking it out, and I may tweet. I'll probably updating you when I do, because I have North and South as well, and I've got to get around to watching that. I have the full series, and I've got to check all this stuff out. So,
thank you so much, Brad.
Okay, I will.
Glad to have your support.
Yes, I'm a huge Dave fan, always been a Dave fan, and never watched any other soap opera, but I've never gotten hooked on any other soap opera. So Dave's has definitely hooked me. Hook, Line, and Sinker, and Lauren's a lovely lady. I adore Lauren, and I'm so glad that I got to meet you, and hopefully one day we'll come back again to the Atlanta events or whatever.
Oh, it would be great. And thank you for your support. You've been so supportive.
Yes,
over the years. It is a fabulous thing, and we all really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad, and I am still around. I'm still on Twitter. I'm just super busy and not on my computer anymore, which is a good thing. But
yeah.
I know.
I'm glad you got the time to call.
I do appreciate your birthday wish to me. That really, really made my birthday special.
Oh.
Especially since I never heard from Patrick that day. I was like, really?
Oh.
You forgot. That's okay. You remembered, and I really did appreciate that. So, but anyway, you all have a great evening, and
I'm
going to be watching as always, and I'll definitely tweet from time to time when I get the chance.
Okay, that'd be cool. Thank you.
Great
stuff.
Thank you.
Real quick question, James. Have you ever seen Coslo eat anything unhealthy?
Uh-oh.
And do you have a picture of it?
Oh, my God.
Whatever it might be.
I'm teasing.
Or
what's that?
Oh, I was going to ask a question right afterwards regarding almost the same thing.
Any observations on that, James?
I'm sorry?
Have you sworn him to secrecy, Lauren?
No, I don't think he heard the question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Have you ever seen Lauren Coslo eat anything unhealthy? And do you have pictures of it?
No and no.
Thank you.
And the second part of this question from me is, how much stuff did Lauren Coslo have to move in order to run lines in her dressing room with you?
Sounds like you have an intimate knowledge.
From other actors about the dressing room.
Oh, my God. I'm doing a house cleaning. I'm cleaning out the 50th.
I see nothing. I hear nothing. I say nothing.
What a gentleman. This is what a gentleman is. You see why Kate's so infatuated.
I love it. Well,
Lauren, you need to take a picture of the two of you in your dressing room just so that we can see how clean you've gotten.
Okay, I will. I will once I get it to that place. I will. Decluttered.
Let's see. We have another caller. I believe Kristen's on the line.
Okay, Kristen.
Hello.
Hi, Lauren. Hi, James.
Hi.
Hi. I'm still laughing from that last question. because I follow Lauren on Instagram, and didn't you bake some, it was like a maple bourbon pie, and it looked so delicious.
Busted.
Yes. Now, I will never claim not to want to bake and cook things that I don't necessarily eat, because I love to cook.
Uh-huh.
I love to cook. The unfortunate thing with that is that I did cook that for Thanksgiving. And, you know, I had my children came home, and I had friends over, but we still had a lot of pie left over. And I begged everyone to take it with them because I didn't want to eat it. And they left it.
Dangerous. But, you know, if you just eat a little bit at a time, it doesn't really count. Like,
yeah,
exactly. It accumulates. No, I did taste it. I mean, I'm not that. I don't know where I've gotten this reputation.
But
I will sample. I will sample things. That's the thing, is you sample it, and you get rid of it so you don't consume the entire thing. It was a wonderful pie, though. I should give everyone the recipe because it was really good.
It was really good.
But I have another picture I have to put on Instagram, because today I was back to my vegetable stir fries. Thank you very much. And I have a great new one. But, yeah.
This question is actually for Lauren. Lauren, I really love your personal style. I think it's very eclectic and fun. And I love Kate's style as well, and just how she dresses, just like the powerful woman that she is. And I was wondering, do you have a lot of influence on her wardrobe, and do you ever bring stuff, you know, your own clothes to work? And then, more importantly, do you ever get to keep any of the clothes?
That would be the more important thing, wouldn't it?
Because she always looks so great, and I just I look forward to seeing what Kate's wearing because it just speaks volumes. I really love how wardrobe can really take the character to a whole nother level.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for saying that. I mean, I feel exactly the same way. I started out as a costume designer. That was my my training.
I remember reading that.
Yeah. So it, for me, I mean, it's another perk to the job. I mean, I love it, and I do feel the costume does say so much. I'm lucky enough that to work with a costume designer who enjoys that collaboration too. Richard Bloor, he's back. He was the costume designer for years. He left for a while, and we had a different costume designer, but now he's back. And we definitely collaborate. I don't bring in my own clothes for Kate.
Okay.
But she does have a very extensive wardrobe. He goes out and shops. He'll bring things in. You know, and in, say in the morning, like when we go back to work on that Monday, I go in early and we have a wardrobe fitting and I'll look at things that he's purchased. Sometimes we bring, because I love to use things from her closet, from Kate's closet, because I like to keep, I think it's closer to reality that you rewear. I know a lot of times, you know, you have to see characters, they never rewear their clothing, but I like to
right.
do that. Yeah, you use pieces, you mix and match. You know, we plot out where she's going over, say, the course of the next few weeks in terms of clothing and color and the type of, you know, look she's going to have. I mean, I definitely, Kate's clothes are her armor, you know, so depending
yeah, they really
on,
are.
You know, what kind of battle she's going into, what kind of squirm, you know, it really depends. And we have a lot of, you know, we have... we'll use just like color terms, or you know, even you know, Kate's going into her vampire mode. You know, we just use just you know, it's just a shorthand for you know, getting to a place that's going to be reflective of you know, what she's experiencing. But
wow.
Yeah,
you know, it's very challenging for me as well. I have to figure out every day whether or not to wear black jeans or blue jeans
or a leather jacket.
Jacket. Or the leather jacket, yes.
Does everyone
yeah.
like the leather jacket, though? We like
oh,
to
yeah.
see him in the leather jacket.
Right.
Yeah.
The jacket. Yeah.
we like that.
Yes, we love
yeah.
the leather.
I can't wait to see
yes,
him in a total, like, the, I think when you see him in a suit.
In a
very,
suit.
I mean,
ooh.
Entertaining ladies, yes.
Yeah,
cool.
that would
you're
be
gonna enjoy
cool.
it.
Yeah, he looked great in a uniform back in the North and South, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, we can work that
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Maybe
well,
it'll turn out that Clyde is one of those Civil War reenactors, you know. take Kate out for a date.
Oh, my God. I would love that. Oh, it has to happen.
Oh, yeah. True.
That would be cool.
Oh, we need that for the 50th.
Yes.
That would be fantastic. A huge ball. We'll have a ball. Oh,
good
God.
Idea.
And then go duck hunting.
That would be fun, too. But anyway, thanks for the question. Yes, it's delightful, and I have so much fun with it, and I have over the years. It's been so much fun for me because I love fashion, too. Lauren loves fashion, so I'm glad that Kate does, too.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for answering my question, and it's really nice to talk to both of you. And I've been a Days viewer now for a really long time, so I'm looking forward to seeing what's this mysterious with Clyde and just everything. So
oh,
I'm
great.
Excited.
Well, thanks for calling. Hey, Kristen, do you mind giving your, are you on Twitter or just Instagram?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram.
You want to give a shout out to your handle?
Sure. So my Twitter handle is Crown of Beauty, and it's CROWN. OFB, the number 3AUTY. And then my Instagram is just Kristen, KRISTEN, RENEE, RENEE.
Cool.
Well, cool.
Right.
Okay. Well,
so
now
you
see you on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. Have a
cool.
good night.
Thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And then I have a quick hugs from Sandra.
to Lauren specifically, as well as James. She can't be here tonight because she's got to work, but she wants to give you guys hugs.
Oh, is that my Bowie buddy who gave me the best Bowie T-shirt ever?
Yep.
I wore to Venice, to Chicago. Oh.
She messaged me and told me to make sure I give her you hugs. So
that's so sweet. Well, send her love. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, we have another caller. Carrie, you want to bring on the next caller?
Okay. Next caller is Donnie.
Yeah.
Hi, Donnie.
Hi.
Hi, Lauren and James.
Hello, Donnie.
Yeah, I was completely stunned when I saw Kate and Clyde doing it. My jaw just dropped.
You didn't see that coming?
No. Not at all.
Well, I think it was supposed to be a surprise, I suppose. I don't know. What do you think, ladies?
It was a surprise, but a welcome surprise.
I wasn't surprised.
Yeah. We saw the build-up. We knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we knew it was going to happen, but it was a surprise of men.
You could see. Yeah. Well, now, what is your line, James? Do you remember that line, the dance line that you used?
Oh, that was great.
It was a great line.
Yeah.
Time to get off your feet. I don't remember.
It's been a mysterious dance. Is that
Yes. It was really. It was. I think that kind of explains the whole thing. They definitely were headed there. You know.
Yeah.
Well, were you a happy surprise or unhappy surprise, Donnie?
I was, you know, kind of in between.
Okay.
That's fair.
Okay.
So I've still got to win you over. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, and you guys and the rest of the day's cast ought to come to Iowa sometime.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. I think they have some plans once again this summer, spring and the summer, to do some fan events in different areas of the country. They did it last year. We went to Connecticut. So, you know, hopefully that will be on the list. I will be on the list.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling in. Thank you for having an open mind, too.
Yeah, thanks, Donnie.
You're welcome, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Great to talk to you.
Stay tuned.
Thanks, Don.
Okay. Bye.
All right. I believe we have another caller.
Yes, this one is Jakara.
Hi.
Hi.
How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. This is awesome to get a chance to talk to you all. I actually met y'all at Days of Days. It was cool.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for allowing me to talk to y'all. But I was wondering, well, first I want to say, Lauren, I absolutely love you. And, like, one of my first memories of Days of Our Lives is seeing Kate, you know, after the plane crash when everybody thought she was dead and she wasn't. Oh, I love it.
Oh, thank
but
you.
I wanted to, I wanted to ask, I know that, you know, Kate has been with a lot of men over the years. I know she's with Clyde now. But if Clyde hadn't came, like, into town, was
mm-hmm.
there a relationship that you would have liked to see revisited?
I don't know. You know, I don't think the relationship with Rafe was totally finished, you know. But I don't know about revisit. I mean, I think actually Kate needed to meet someone outside of Salem. You know, I really do. I mean, I kind of have been saying that for years. It was getting not incestuous, but I mean, there needed to be someone new. Someone new, I think, had to come into the picture for her. There had been so many, you know, ups and downs in her relationship. You know, it started with when Ian McAllister came into town. I mean, I thought that was an interesting development for her, even though we found out then, you know, he was from her past, though. You know, he was a part of her past. And I was excited by that because I thought we would find out more about her, you know, through that relationship. You know, but that ended really before we got to find out a lot of information. So I think now this is it's kind of refreshing. And maybe we'll learn more about her as we learn more about Clyde. Because definitely they both have mystery in their past. I mean, there's still things that we don't know about Kate and, you know, what drives her, what motivates her. And so I'm really quite delighted with what's happening now. I think she's almost had a relationship with every man in the cast anyway.
I think she has.
She really needed to go outside of Salem. So I think it's a good thing.
And I also wanted to ask, I don't know, you guys may not know, but I was wondering, do you ever, like, do you think NBC or Ken Corday will ever put Days of Our Lives on DVD, like the complete thing?
I don't know. I think that's a wonderful idea. Gosh, that would be fascinating, wouldn't it? You know, there's so much of it online, and actually, you know, my husband, Nikki, who's the head of makeup, hair and makeup, a lot of times he streams old shows because they're on YouTube, and they'll have them streaming in the makeup room on our monitors, and it's fascinating to see some of the shows. I mean, from 20, 30, 40 years ago, it's so fascinating to see it. So I don't know. I think it's a great idea, though.
Yeah, I wasn't born until 1987, so, you know, there's a lot
of
stuff.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great to see it? I know, I'd love to. I know, I actually saw recently an episode. It was when Kate first came on the show. I don't even know if I ever saw, I probably saw it the first time it aired, when she was on the fishing boat with the kerchief on her head and diving into the water. Oh, James, it was so amazing. They had, you know, we did the whole thing on the raft with the sharks. I mean, it was crazy what we used to do on the show. It was so much fun seeing it. So, I mean, I think it would be great if you're a fan of the show to have a collection like that, for sure.
And I'd like to ask, James, is there anybody who you haven't worked with on the cast yet that you'd like to work with?
I'm sorry, was that for me?
Yes.
Yes.
Is there anybody that I have yet to work with that I'd like to work with?
Yes. Yes.
I'm just, I am just really, really impressed with all the cast members. You know, coming to know the show really for the first time since I've been on it, I'm just blown away every day by the quality of work that I see, especially I mean, they just seem, every new cast member that comes on just continually sets the bar a little higher, and it's great to see. It keeps everybody on their toes, and there's not a weak link in the chain. So I'd like to work with any and all of them.
Okay. Well, I already started saving my money. I'm definitely going to Days of Days next year, and I can't wait to see y'all again.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Hi, this is Carrie. I have a quick question. I was wondering, tonight Eileen Davidson made her debut on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I was wondering if they shot any of that at the when she was on Days or this past summer.
I don't think so. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, not that I remember. No. You mean the show itself, the Housewives show on Days?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so. I don't remember that happening. Mm-mm. But I'm not the authority on it. But I just don't recall it.
Yeah, it's funny. Eileen and Lisa ran on. And I think Lisa was already friends with Kyle Richards, so I can only watch a couple minutes of it tonight, but it should be an interesting season.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to watch the real Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. No. Yeah, it's kind of interesting seeing actors go on there. I don't know. That would be interesting to watch, I guess. So, who knows? I think we have another. Carrie, did you have anything? Did you?
Yeah, let's bring Neva.
Oh, Neva? Okay.
Hi, Neva.
Hi, this is Neva. Hi, Lauren. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I want to thank you guys for all the fun shenanigans we had at Day of Days. And speaking of the 50th coming up, can we just get Collide down the wedding aisle before Sammy comes back and ruins anything?
I'm sorry, I missed that first, the last part of that question.
I said, can we, for the phase 50th, can we get Collide down the aisle before Sammy comes back and ruins anything?
Oh, wow. Well, you know how that works, though. You could be walking down the aisle, and that means nothing. Very few weddings ever happen in Salem. But, wow, but thank you for the vote of confidence in their relationship. I don't know. I don't know if they're the marrying kind anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Remains
to, try,
remains to be seen. Although I suppose it could be a very political alliance. Let's see what happens. I have no idea. I mean, the writers have just done a magnificent job, I think, with all of the twists and turns with this story. And I'm curious myself to see what's going to happen with it.
Yeah, we tweet as much as we can about what we like and what we'd like to see. So
I think that's great. I think it's great. You know, all of these stories, you know, these people who are pro or con or indifferent, but I think it's great to have conversations, you know, about it. That's the fun part, you know.
And James, I wanted to ask you, since you probably haven't worn a beard since North and South, do you think Clyde will be growing his pretty soon?
I think it's off for good. He had it for the first couple of months, and I think he thought that Kate thought he was a little too much of a bumpkin, so he shaved it off.
Yeah.
He cleaned up really good.
Anything for the love of a good woman, you know.
Oh,
yeah. And also want to thank you, Kate, for doing all your home on the farm photos.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll keep it up then. I never know if it's like, okay, is it too much now? Too much on the farm?
No, we love it.
It's not for me. I mean, there's a lot of people that enjoy that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I've been trying to get some photos because, you know, we have our white peacock baby that I just thought was going to make it and has made it. And she's quite large now. We believe it's a female. She's really interesting. Anyway, so I'm trying to get some pictures. It's hard to get, but I'll keep that in mind. Come up with some news.
And my nephew Matthew's on Twitter. He likes the horse pictures.
Oh, really? So, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I tweeted because Beth Maitland does the same thing. She tweets pictures with the horses, and Tracy does too, Tracy Bregman. So.
Oh, great. Okay.
So.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. Look forward
great
to everything.
Great to talk to you.
Okay.
Here.
Bye-bye.
Fan of it. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And James, are you enjoying being on Twitter, speaking of Twitter and everything, are you enjoying being on Twitter?
I don't take naturally to it. I'm a slow learner.
Did Lauren push Twitter into your hands?
She did. She tried her best, but I'm an incorrigible student and making it very difficult for her.
But I have to say, right before Thanksgiving, he actually did have his cell phone in hand and said, we should get a picture together. And we didn't get to do it. I felt badly because you were enthusiastic about that.
Yeah, the intent was there, wasn't it?
The intent was there.
It was. I have the best intentions.
You really did. I felt really guilty because I think I then said, well, let's take it with my phone. And then I couldn't find my phone. So we didn't get the picture, and it was totally my fault. And he had good intentions.
It's one of my New Year's resolutions. I have to be a better Twitterer, tweeter, whatever it is.
Twitter. Well, I'm very excited.
I'm going to tweet more.
I'm very excited because Carrie Garfield, who I think you met at the fair.
Yes.
She, well, yes, you know, Carrie sent me one of those, the thing that you have, James, the extended selfie
sticker
thing.
Yeah.
You have to admit, you have that. You put it to better use with your
My son's,
travels.
I guess, right. Yeah.
Yes. But I have one of those now, so I'm going to use it at the studio, and we're going to get some good photos.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll be tweeting. I'll be tweeting.
Me too.
Well, Carrie, I think we had a last caller. Did their call drop?
I'm sorry?
Hello? Did the call drop? I thought we had... Yeah. Sorry.
No, we're,
is everybody there still?
We got
everyone. Okay. Hello?
Hi, Anna, I can hear you.
Hello? I'm sorry. We're losing somebody. Are you there, caller?
Sherry was dropped.
Oh, no. Sometimes Blog Talk drops calls. That's what we're trying to figure out. We'll see if they can call back there. It's just fun to hear more about the characters and about how you guys are playing them and everything. And it's just a delight watching. We're enjoying seeing how it all unfolds. We're trying to wait for, I think, one last caller to call back.
Rita.
Are you there?
Rita.
Hello? So Lauren, what are you doing for Nick? What are you guys doing for Nikki's birthday celebration coming up?
Well, I think we're going to get off the farm, and we're going to go into the city, and I think we'll probably have. I hope he's not listening. But we're going to go out to dinner,
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
And meet up with the kids, and have one of those family things.
Well, didn't mean to spoil any surprises if you were.
No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing.
Okay, is our last caller in?
I don't care.
Okay, well, we're having technical difficulties, obviously. Huh?
Is she 937?
Yeah.
Okay, I got her then.
Okay, there we go.
All right.
Hello.
Sherry? Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Sherry?
I can hear you.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry.
Hello. I just wanted to say hi. I won't keep you. I interviewed Lauren and you on at the Day of Days for the Diva. Carrie.
Oh, great.
The other Carrie. Hi. Uh-huh. So I just wanted to say hey, and I think you guys are doing a great job, and I can't wait to see more.
Terrific. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you.
Very hot.
Okay. Yeah. See us all.
Thank you for that seal of approval.
It's fabulous. It's like, wow.
Oh, good.
We loved it.
Well, I'm glad.
Gosh. And I was just enjoying listening to you guys, sitting here cracking up.
Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, she mentioned the Day of Days. I was going to ask one quick question, and we probably will wrap it up here. But, James, what was it? I mean, Lauren's been through these Day of Days before, and I'm sure there's some things that are the same every year and some things that are a little bit different, but what was it like for you since Day of Days event?
To see the passion of the fans, how deeply attached to the show they are and how well they know the storylines and the characters and how important it is to them. It is quite striking, really. It's kind of a devotion that I haven't often seen when it comes to you know, popular entertainment, and really unique.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, these
cool.
fans are loyal and passionate, for sure.
They are,
yes.
Yeah.
It's the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Been watching for a long time.
Yeah. Well, and Lauren, what, you know, any last thoughts you wanted to share for tonight?
Well, I was so wonderful talking to you and getting a chance to get some feedback
yeah.
about what's going on, the reaction to this story, because I, you know, I've heard little bits and pieces as people have been watching and seeing this developing relationship. So it's always great to hear. You know, we don't get to that's a good thing about Twitter, I have to say, and Facebook though,
yeah.
and now Instagram, that you do get little bits and pieces of
yes.
of what the audience is feeling, you know.
Yeah.
And that's really wonderful, because otherwise we're kind of doing it in a vacuum, and so it's gratifying to hear this, and you know, I know there's always a little controversy with every new pairing, but
oh yes,
I just you know, love to ask people to keep an open mind and and kind of enjoy the ride, you know.
Well, yes, definitely, that's why we watch. I mean, it's just it's fun to watch the plot twists and turns and the the loves and all that. But thank you both so much. We all really appreciate you joining us tonight, and we've enjoyed getting to know James a little better, and we hope that he's around for a long, long time on the show. And Lauren, as always, enjoy having you
join us.
And we just thank you guys both so much for your time and how much work how much heart and soul you pour into your work, because we enjoy watching it, and we enjoy the journey, going along the journey with you.
Thank you, and for putting this on. It was a lot of fun, and it was really fun to talk to the fans out there too. It's really unique, and you know, makes the job that much more enjoyable.
Well, thanks. Well, you guys take care, and we'll see you on Twitter and on Days of Our Lives.
Thank you.
Okay.
You take care.
Bye.
See you in the studio.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.